This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks.
The Kennebunk Inn, a charming slice of New England history nestled in the heart of Kennebunk, Maine. Built in 1799, it has been a private home, a boarding house, and eventually a well-known hotel. Over the centuries, its walls have witnessed the passage of time, the laughter of guests, and if the stories are to be believed, something else, something unseen. For decades, staff and visitors have whispered about strange occurrences, glasses shattering without cause, lights flickering with no electrical explanation, apparitions of figures dressed in period clothing, glimpsed for just a moment before vanishing. And then there's Room 17, where the presence of a former night watchman, Silas Perkins, seems to linger long after his final shift. Is it the weight of history playing tricks on the mind, or does the Kennebunk Inn still have permanent residents who never checked out? Tonight, we dive into the eerie, unexplained, and the downright unsettling. I'm Tony Bruschi. Let's dig in. The Kennebunk Inn, like so many historic structures in New England, began as something far different from the bustling hotel it is today. In 1799, it was built as a private residence by Phineas Cole, a prominent local figure in Kennebunk, Maine. The home, like the town itself, was shaped by the changing tides of early American history. It would eventually pass into the hands of Benjamin Smith, whose family resided there for decades before selling it to Dr. Orrin Ross, a well-respected physician in the community. Dr. Ross's son, Dr. Frank Ross, would later inherit the property, transforming it into a space that held a significant place in the town's medical history. Frank Ross was an obstetrician, renowned for a record that many found astonishing. Over 1,000 deliveries, and not a single mother lost. Stories of his skill and care spread throughout the region, and for years, the home was a place of new beginnings. But as time moved forward, the house would find itself in new hands, taking on a different purpose entirely. By 1928, the once private home had been converted into a business known as the Tavern, an elegant hotel catering to visitors and locals alike. George and Lillian Baitler, the owners at the time, expanded the property, adding a 2.5-story wing to accommodate a growing number of guests. Over the next few years, the inn's reputation grew, becoming a centerpiece of Kennebunk's hospitality scene. It was during this era that the hotel underwent its most notable change, its rebranding as the Kennebunk Inn. For many decades, the inn was simply that, a hotel and restaurant, a place of comfort for travelers. But behind its warm atmosphere and historic charm, something else was brewing, a shift, a presence. The first whispers of unusual activity surfaced in the mid-20th century, though no one could quite put their finger on when exactly the strange occurrences began. If you ask the locals, many will point to one name, Silas Perkins. Silas wasn't just another employee of the Kennebunk Inn. He was a night watchman, a poet, and a fixture in the building for years. Those who knew him described him as a dedicated, quiet man, someone who took his duties seriously. But what makes him significant in this story isn't just his time spent at the inn. It's the fact that even after his death, some believe he never truly left. Sometime in the early 1950s, Silas Perkins passed away from a heart attack while on duty at the Kennebunk Inn. His death wasn't violent, nor was it mysterious, yet to this day, many insist his presence lingers. In fact, it didn't take long after his passing for the reports to begin. Small things at first, the sound of footsteps echoing in empty hallways late at night, the feeling of being watched as if someone was still making their rounds long after the guests had gone to sleep. But the true escalation of paranormal events seemed to coincide with a major renovation in 1978. The new owners, Arthur and Angela LeBlanc, made significant updates to the inn, modernizing parts of the structure while maintaining its historic charm. It was around this time that employees began noticing something unusual. Mugs would lift off shelves and hover in the air before suddenly crashing to the ground. Glasses would slide off tables, seemingly untouched by human hands. And then there were the lights flickering at odd intervals, even when electricians confirmed there was no logical explanation for the disturbances. A waitress working at the inn recalled an encounter that left her shaken. While heading down to the basement, she was overcome with the sensation that she was not alone. The air grew heavy, charged, as if someone or something was standing right behind her. She never saw a figure, never heard a voice, but she knew she wasn't alone. When asked about it later, she said she felt compelled to name the presence Cyrus. No one knows why she chose that name, or if it holds any historical connection to the building. But from that moment on, Cyrus became another entity tied to the Kennebunk Inn. Some say he was a former clerk, still watching over the front desk in death as he did in life. Others believe he was never part of the inn at all, something else entirely. As the years passed, more guests and employees began reporting unexplainable events. Room 17 in particular seemed to attract the most attention, a room where guests often felt cold spots, where doors would rattle as if someone was trying to get in, yet no one was ever outside. Some believe this was the room where Silas Perkins passed away, though records remain unclear. Skeptics argue that all of this can be explained by something far less supernatural. Old buildings, especially those as historic as the Kennebunk Inn, creak and groan as they settle. Pipes rattle, drafts sweep through corridors, and the mind, when primed with ghost stories, can often fill in the blanks. Psychologists point to the power of suggestion. If someone tells you a place is haunted, you may become more attuned to every sound, every flickering light, interpreting them as something more than they are. Environmental factors, too, play a role. Changes in atmospheric pressure, electromagnetic fields, even the very design of a building can create a sense of unease. But still, those who have stayed at the Kennebunk Inn will tell you that sometimes it just doesn't feel like an old building making noise. Sometimes it feels like something or someone is still there, watching. As we move forward, the reports only grow stranger. Apparitions appearing in windows, doors locking themselves, the presence of a child running through hallways, though no child was checked in. And of course, the whispers of those who swear they've felt a hand on their shoulder, only to turn and find no one there. The question remains, are these merely stories shaped by history and imagination? Or is the Kennebunk Inn truly home to spirits who have no intention of leaving? For those who believe the Kennebunk Inn holds more than just history, the experiences only seem to deepen. As the years passed, new owners came and went, but the reports remain the same, strange, unexplained, and often deeply unsettling. One of the most infamous rooms in the inn, Room 17, has developed a reputation that even skeptics struggle to dismiss. Some say that this is where Silas Perkins took his last breath, though no official records confirm it. What is known, however, is that guests who have stayed in this particular room often report bizarre experiences. The most common? The sensation of someone standing at the foot of the bed, not moving, not speaking, just watching. Some guests have even claimed to wake in the middle of the night, paralyzed by an overwhelming sense of dread. A shadowy figure, often described as a tall man in old-fashioned clothing, has been seen near the window, sometimes just a fleeting glimpse, sometimes lingering long enough to convince even the most hardened non-believer that something isn't right. Then there are the doors. Staff members have recounted instances where doors would unlock and open on their own. At times, they would close abruptly as if someone unseen, was making their presence known. The entity many believe to be Silas Perkins is described as calm, quiet, more of a watchful presence than a malevolent force. But others? They're not so sure. Unlike Silas, whose attachment to the inn is rooted in a life well-lived, The entity known as Cyrus is something different. As mentioned before, his name was first spoken by an employee who felt an unshakable presence in the basement. But what's truly strange is that others have since felt him too. Bartenders, servers, and even guests who have ventured into the lower levels of the inn report an overwhelming sense of unease. Some describe feeling pushed, not physically, but as if a heavy force was pressing them out of the room. Others say the lights flicker more erratically here than anywhere else in the building. The basement of the Kennebunk Inn has become an area that even longtime employees refuse to enter alone. And it isn't just the Kennebunk Inn staff who have felt the presence of something unseen. Guests, some completely unaware of the inn's haunted reputation, have checked out early, unable to shake the feeling that they were not alone in their rooms. One account in particular stands out. A woman who had been staying at the inn for a business trip woke up to the distinct sound of a child laughing. Assuming it was another guest's child running through the hallways, she turned over and attempted to go back to sleep until she heard the knock. A soft, rapid knocking at her door. She checked the clock. 3:12 a.m. Hesitant, she got up, opened the door, and found nothing. The hallway was empty. There was no sound of retreating footsteps, no echoes of laughter. Just silence. Shaking off the encounter as her imagination, she returned to bed. But the moment she lay down, she heard it again. Knock, knock, knock. This time, she didn't move. She simply listened, and then with a sinking feeling in her stomach, she realized the knocking wasn't coming from the hallway. It was coming from inside her room. The story of the laughing child has been repeated by others, some claiming they've caught glimpses of a small girl running past their doors only to vanish before their eyes. No historical records indicate a child named Emily. If she ever existed, she remains a mystery. With so many stories over the years, it was only a matter of time before paranormal investigators turned their attention to the Kennebunk Inn. Several psychic mediums have visited the property, each reporting similar findings. The most commonly identified entities: Silas Perkins, Cyrus, and the unnamed child. But what's truly fascinating is the activity they claim to have detected. Energy shifts, electromagnetic field disturbances, and even disembodied voices captured in EVP recordings. One particularly chilling piece of audio reportedly picked up a voice, one that investigators claim says, "I never left." Paranormal researchers have attempted to categorize the activity at the inn, debating whether these events fall under residual hauntings, repetitive echoes of past lives, or something more intelligent. The difference? A residual haunting is like a recording playing over and over with no awareness of the living. An intelligent haunting, however, reacts. It interacts. It knows you're there. And the way objects move, doors unlock, and voices respond in real time? Many believe the Kennebunk Inn is very much haunted by something intelligent. Of course, not everyone is convinced that ghostly forces are at play. Some argue the flickering lights and shattering glasses can be attributed to an old electrical system and natural vibrations in the structure. Others claim that cold spots, commonly reported throughout the inn, are nothing more than drafts seeping through the walls of a centuries-old building. Psychologists have weighed in as well, pointing to the human brain's ability to connect dots that aren't really there. The power of suggestion plays a significant role. If you believe a place is haunted, your mind might interpret ordinary sounds as something more sinister. A gust of wind becomes a whisper, a creaking floorboard, a phantom step. But even with these logical explanations, one thing remains clear. The Kennebunk Inn has an energy that can't be ignored. Whether it's the weight of its history pressing against those who enter, or something far more supernatural. The stories continue, and for many who have walked its halls, there is no doubt something lingers here. So what are we left with when we step back and look at the Kennebunk Inn? A charming historic hotel in the heart of Maine, rich with stories of the past. And if reports are to be believed, a few residents who refuse to leave. Some say it's just the quirks of an old building, the way aging wood shifts in the night, how the mind can play tricks when primed with ghost stories. Others, though, aren't so sure. What do we make of the guests who wake up to find their doors open, the sudden rush of cold air that seems to move with purpose, or the shadows that slip away just as you turn to look? And then, of course, there's Room 17, a place where time and time again people report the same thing, an unseen presence at the foot of the bed. Maybe it's all coincidence, the brain filling in gaps where fear takes over. Or maybe, just maybe, the Kennebunk Inn still has a night watchman on duty, making his rounds long after the last guests have checked in. It's easy to dismiss the stories, until you find yourself alone in those halls at night, the floorboards creaking when no one's there, the air shifting like someone has just walked past. That's the thing about hauntings. You don't have to believe in them for them to find you. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes and so you can join us again for another Paranormal Deep Dive.
Want to dig deeper in the Paranormal Deep Dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new Paranormal Deep Dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.